For Armenians throughout Armenia, the medical system is either not readily available or attainable when there is a medical need. Beyond access, knowledge of healthcare-related habits is scarce. Through groups like MedAid Armenia and the important work of people like our guest, Dr. Krikor Deramerian, the hope is to understand the medical needs of the people of Armenia and move them forward. Join us as we take a deep dive into Armenia's medical landscape. Pati Luis, my name is Sophia, and I'm the co-host of this podcast with Executive Director Peter Abadjian. Today, we are joined by Dr. Krikor Deramerian, a pediatric doctor at Kaiser here in Southern California. So we wanted to start by asking you, what initially drew you to the medical field? If you could tell us a little bit about your journey to how you got to where you are today.
I think like everyone, it's life experiences. Growing up, I had a brother who was ill. So it became my passion to help other kids and be a doctor one day. So that's where kind of the passion came from. And that, like everyone has this journey. And along the way, it built up. And here we are.
Yeah, that's amazing. Dr. Deramerian, you and I have had, I should say I have had the pleasure of working with you. And you and I have worked together on a couple of different things over the years. And most recently, you've taken a leadership role and been, you know, the leader in our medical missions, our MedAid missions to Armenia. Can you describe what that's all about and what a typical day looks like?
Sure. And I would have to say it's been a pleasure, Peter. Again, coming to that passion in medicine, since my first time in Armenia, I went there on behalf of Armenian Medical Association to gather information, and my experiences there really created that passion in me to come back to Armenia to help. And that was kind of a struggle to do. I was getting a lot of barriers and difficulties to do that until, lo and behold, one day I asked that magical question to Peter Abadjian, what can I do? And careful what you ask, and then next thing you know, here we are. MedAid Armenia, typical day, it's kind of hard to say because it's such an evolving program. And I would distinguish it from a mission. It's more of a program. We started with going out and, you know, just being out there, hands-on, helping the kids, making sure they're okay, giving checkups, to taking a step back and seeing how best we can be effective in doing this. And Peter's ask of me when I asked, how can I help, was to bring Western standard quality of care to Armenia. And I'm mindful, it's not necessarily Western medicine to Armenia, but Western standards, which means evidence-based, standardized, quality care improvements, so forth. So that was a task, and it's still our, you know, task today to move forward. So I would have to answer a typical day in MedAid Armenia based on our last trip, which evolved from my first one, which is on a vacation, actually. At the end of it, I was in Gyumri doing, 140 physicals in 2 days. And
wow.
Yes, that was quite the adventure. And so last year, so coming fast forward over 4 years, me being the solo person using a room that the Debbie Arach nurse used, to creating a schedule itinerary accompanied by two other physicians, one emergency room medical doctor, and the other one, a family medicine doctor. So we scheduled visits to various locations that Paros Foundation takes care of kids. And we went there and put up a clinic, basically. It was from scratch, zero. We got tables that were available, whatever rooms we can find, set up stations, assign volunteer staff to do screenings such as vision, hearing, height, weight. And these seem kind of trivial, you know, height and weight, but these are profound data that are necessary to track and be able to improve the care and health of the population. And once we got those measurements and data collected, we had basic physicals for these kids, just screenings through questionnaires. I brought into our program something called ACEs, which is acute childhood event. And this is something that was created in Kaiser, actually. And the principle is that screening kids for ACEs helps physicians be able to direct care because it has been studied and seen that acute childhood events will create later on physical and mental issues, to put it simply. So if you can address them early on, you can have a significant preventive measure down the road. So that was brought to our program in Armenia through MedAid. So gathering all this information, doing the physicals, seeing there's anything acute or chronic that we could help address, we created a problem list sheet that was given to the staff and Peter, which they later on would take on to referrals or wherever they needed to go to address those issues. And in each of these pop-up clinics, if you want to call them, that were done in a facility that's, these kids go to regularly. We had, gosh, between 70 to about 110 kids come through. And compared to my first visit, these were a lot more elaborate. So it's not just a quick checkup and see what's going on. This was to collect information, chart them. We created a charting, very crude, just basic paper charts, which seems kind of arcane in today's world of electronic medical records, but that's the best we had. And through those, we want to collect the data so that every time we went back, we can track to see what was going on with these kids and also have those charts available for them if they went to referral. So we did those. And then the other part we did in MedAid, to call it a typical day, was a learning process. We wanted to learn to see what the medical care provided in Armenia is like. You can read about it, you can talk about it for people, but when you go there hands-on, in person, it's always different. You always get information that people didn't quite see or they didn't look for or whatnot. And the unique opportunity we had was I had an emergency medicine services doctor, who's the chief of emergency medicine services actually in Glendale Adventist. And I had a family practice doctor who was a professor, instructor in her hospital. So we went to a polyclinic and a medical center in Gyumri to kind of get an idea of what's going on. And we started to quickly learn what were the challenges, what the culture of medicine being practiced, be it from physicians, be it from the patients. I kind of call it the anthropology of medicine, in a sense that you have to understand and learn or the delivery of the medical care and the expectation of the medical care from the population at large. So we did quite a bit of that and learned a lot from that and found some opportunities where we can intervene, not intervene, we can kind of help. And help is a very precarious word because you have to be careful when you walk in to try to help. You want to be respectful, you want to be cognizant of what's going on. You don't want to just walk in, a Western doctor coming in and just barging in, wanting to change things. That's a comes across offensive. So you don't want to do that. You want to be very respectful.
When you and the team visited some of these medical facilities in Gyumri and in Nor Hagen, for instance, in addition to the general practice group, you broke into specialties. I know we had a neurologist with us, we had ER. What were your impressions of the capabilities from what you saw and what you experienced with your with your team of specialists and the specialists in Armenia?
Absolutely. I would love to tell you about the people that went, colleagues and now friends. So we had one emergency medical doctor who's actually chief of emergency medicine, Glendale Adventist. Her name is Sylvia Kotikyan, Dr. Sylvia Kotikyan. We had a family medicine physician from the East Coast, Dr. Victoria Caprilian. We had a neurologist who's also from Kaiser, Dr. Marika Isahakian. And we had some pre-med students from US. We also had resident physicians in Armenia who helped us translate and kind of navigate through our process. So we had quite an excellent team. In addition, we had support staff who did, you know, the screenings, whatnot. And there were my kids, my family, anyone else who volunteered. So the neurologist, she came in and had some unique opportunities to help deliver care as a specialist. And delivery of the care really kind of surfaced some of the challenges in accessing healthcare. So we had a child with seizures who was not getting medication. We wondered how this is possible, what was going on, was it a cost issue? We came to find out very simple things such as lack of knowledge. The parents didn't know that they had access to those medications. It was government funded, whatnot, what medications were being used. So, and then there's a communication issue with the parent having a clear understanding of what the condition was, what medications were needed, what was going on. So there was, on all levels of care delivery, from the physician, from support, from medication, from access to medications and care. On the emergency medical service side, we had some unique opportunities where our emergency medical doctor had an opportunity to visit what would one would call an ER or something in the terms of an ER for Armenia, because there is no formal emergency medicine services in Armenia. There's something that's put together that one can, you know, akin to emergency medicine, and that's being worked on. So she had an opportunity to go on ambulance runs to kind of get a fully hands-on idea of what was really taking place. And really kind of brought to surface the lack of a formal emergency medical services, whereas the physician, so the structure is there's a physician and a nurse that go in an ambulance to a call, ambulance call. And the physician could be a radiologist, a pediatrician, or be a GYN doctor, a family doctor, didn't matter. As long as they're physicians, they went on the ambulance, they took turns. The nurse was your regular nurse, not a emergency medical services nurse. And the calls pretty much resulted in a lot of kind of house calls for chronic illnesses. If there are any emergency medical issues, the resources available in the ambulance, whether it be skill set or equipment, especially acute intervention necessary, were not available. So this really kind of put the question is, what is the ambulance really doing? In terms of Western standards of ambulance, because we think of an ambulance 911 call would be taking care of any life-threatening situations on scene. And that will be a challenge for a ambulance in Armenia to do. And then once they came back to the hospital, the process there is different as well. There's no emergency medical doctor in the hospital. It's a regular physician, be it a family practice doctor, who acts as kind of a triage and consult. And they call in the specialists, be cardiologists, ICU, whatnot. And they would come to this room that we would deem an emergency room with four beds, and they would deliver care. So then we find out that there is actually a residency program for ambulances. And that's a whole discussion because no one wants to really do it as far as the pay, those kinds of things. So that answers your question.
So you've also seen patients in both Yerevan as well as rural parts of the country. What would you say, what are the similarities, the differences in the medical system? Is there things that, the rural areas are doing that Yerevan could adapt to, or vice versa?
Yes, so as far as the Yerevan, we saw patients that were part of the Paris Foundation program. So I wouldn't say there were clinics, medical clinics being run in Yerevan, but it gave me good insight of the care that was available to the kids in Yerevan. I would say the kids in Yerevan had pretty good access to tertiary level care. I mean, Yerevan has cardiothoracic surgeries, it has stroke centers, it has pediatric neurosurgery. I mean, it's got all the specialties. In contrast, you go to the rural areas, went to a village in the south, and basically it's a nurse. And that nurse delivers the care. She consults with a local physician, but their go-to person is a nurse. So the contrast there is you have Western level of this very complex, very high-level care. But then you go to the rural, it's complete opposite. There's a bit of the middle we saw just in the outskirts of Yerevan, be it Norhagen at the polyclinic, where some of the tertiary physicians would come in, be it the head and neck surgeon. OBGYN is kind of more of a primary care, but they had these physicians that would come in once a week or twice a week. So not exactly there every day. And the staff in the clinic were physicians. So not nurses, and as nursing staff would help. So it's kind of a three level, very high level, mid, and then very low level as far as the nurses. What was interesting was that the nurses in the village had a lot more intimate knowledge of all the villagers, the patients, which was very nice. I had some wonderful experiences there. In the mid level, be it polyclinic. They as well. I would say any medical clinic here would be envious of the vaccination effort of this one pediatrician I came across. She knew every child, every family in her catchment area, and that she made her mission to make sure that those kids got vaccinations. So that's kind of the disparity in the care. I'll give you an example. I had was translating for a family medicine doctor for one of the villagers, a lady. And after we were done, while we were talking, I asked her a couple of questions. Lo and behold, she was having chest pains when she walked more than, I don't know, 20, 30 yards. And I looked at her, I said, "So this is not good." And we had a discussion about this and everything. And we got to talk about her grandkids and all those things and really connected. And at the end, I said, "Ma'am, you could do something to not have these issues." And she looked at me and Armin said, "But like once, like how's that even feasible?" I said, "Well, I'm gonna really go left field here, but I said you can do something called plant-based diet." And I explained to her what plant-based diet was, and she thought that was the most obscene thing ever heard. And I said, "Well, it's up to you, but this is what you can do." As we were leaving, she came grab my arm. She said, "Doctor, really? I can do that?" I said, "Yes." She goes, "Then I will try." So I was able to help in that level of care, which I consider the forefront of true medicine being practiced. For me personally, it's not the medication you dispense, it's not the tests you do. It's really having a effect on the quality of life of a patient, which I term a lifestyle medicine. And I was able to practice that more effectively in the village. And I think the villages have a different sense of life and health. One of the villagers, I think he was about 70 something years old, he had a couple of chronic issues, but he said, "You know what? I can still tend to my farm. I can play with my grandkids. I feel fine." He's like, "Why bother?" And I thought he truly had a grasp of quality of life. He truly had an understanding of what is our purpose? No heroics. If it's something simple that could be done to make me more comfortable, extend my quality of life, he was all for it. But anything heroic and really outlandish, in his terms, he was not interested. And I had respect for that. And I acknowledged that to him, shook his hand, and I said, "The best to you." I said, "Here are things that you can do if you ever want to, these are things to consider."
See, that's so cool. Like when we go into these villages, like we, the Paros team, we're looking at, does the population have access to a decent place? So, we won't necessarily scratch the medical surface beyond the physical. Is that nurse that's in that village, does she have a decent place to see these patients? Are they going to be sanitary? Or if it's actually a village that has a doctor stationed there or a regular doctor that visits, a couple days a week, is there an adequate facility? So it's so cool to hear these kinds of interactions at that next level, knowing there's so much that we can do there.
Yes, absolutely. And I think each area has a unique opportunity to intervene, a unique need, I should say, or both. I'll give you an example. So in the village, you're concerned about a sanitary, clean space, access, services. In Yerevan, and I'll give you an example. So when we first started doing Minute Armenia, I think I saw maybe two obese kids. On our last visit, there were a whole lot more. So you start seeing that Western lifestyles are coming to creep into, or I should say, the success, economic success of these families has adversely affected them potentially because they have more access to the junk foods or what they consider to be better foods, like eating chorovads every other day. So education now has become one of my priorities, as was before, was making sure they had no acute or chronic conditions that I need to address, because those chronic conditions are in the making in these kids. They're going to be diabetics and hypertensives and, all the other chronic diseases. So yes, so each area has different need and different responsibilities.